Hello, AfterBuzzers. You're watching the Outlander After Show, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to this beautiful hot Monday afternoon show of the Outlander After Show. Today we will be reviewing Season 2, Episode 12, The Hail Mary. I'm Adrienne Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrienne Snow, and that's MSADRIANSNOW, and here's my co-host.
I'm Emily Harlan. You can follow me on Twitter at MLEBeth, and on Instagram at OMG, it's MLE.
All right, so first thoughts.
I liked this episode, but it was a very frustrating episode for me. I felt like at the end I was like, I had so much anxiety, was so frustrated with what happened with the characters. But I liked how they kind of paralleled between the McKenzie brothers and the Randall brothers, you know, like both saying goodbye to a brother. I thought that was very interesting how that was portrayed. And we also got a lot of answers, like that Mary is pregnant with Alex's child.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. And so I felt like this episode was kind of like building up to obviously the season finale next week. So I liked it, but I was very frustrated throughout the whole thing.
Okay.
Yes. Just want to throw that out there.
I was okay with it. It was a pretty chill episode for me. I made the mistake of watching it after watching the Game of Thrones season finale. So I was kind of like, eh. but overall, I liked it. I liked the time jump. I liked seeing the parallels between the McKenzie brothers and the Randall brothers as well. And I liked kind of getting down to just like brass tacks, like what's going to actually go down in the next episode. Of it is inevitable now that they will have to go and fight in this battle where they essentially lose, and we discover that it is also the death date for Captain Jack, which was like,
yay! I was so excited.
So,
yeah.
That'll be fun to watch as well.
Yeah.
I think it was a good setup for the season finale. So it might have been a little bit slower, but it was intentional.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I liked it. I mean, I thought it was a good episode. And I liked that there was a lot going on. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't just kind of like a slow setting things up. There were a lot of like ends tied up and, you know, kind of questions answered. So I liked that.
Yeah.
But I feel like next week there's going to be some more things left unanswered that we're going to have to wait.
I know. Until the next week. Ugh,
yeah.
Geez.
I know.
Here we go. All right. So I guess just to start off, we do jump 5 months. When I first realized that they had jumped 5 months, I was like, oh, it just seemed like they had just come from the Duke's house.
Yeah.
Like how they were like trekking into camp. But apparently, they've been on the road and retreating for 5 months. Mm-hmm. So like all their soldiers are exhausted. Mary has gone off to Inverness.
Yes.
And she's, we'll get to her in just a second. But so they've reached like 3 days before the Battle of, I always want to say it wrong,
Culloden Moor.
Culloden Moor. And Jamie and Claire kind of talking out just like how it's going to work out, and is there a way for them to avoid going to the fight. So they're plotting that. She goes off to the market to get some supplies for her medical, and she runs into Mary.
Yeah.
Who, one, has like pissed.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, what is she so pissed?
I know. I did the same thing. Yeah. It took me a while when I saw her. I was like, God, she's being really cold to Claire.
Yeah.
Like, didn't Claire just kind of save her from all this stuff that happened with the Duke? But then it was like, oh, yes, she's back with Alex, who Claire told to beat it.
I mean, to be fair, Claire was right. Like, seeing Alex now as we see him in this episode, she was, it was not the nicest thing to do, but it was the right move, essentially.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
I'm back and forth with her and her decisions and kind of how she's playing with Mary's life. And I think that was part of the frustrations for me, as I was frustrated at her character.
Mm-hmm.
And we can dive into this later because I'm jumping a little forward. But just speaking about her in kind of setting up Mary to marry, you know, Captain Blackjack, and after everything that he said and did, I mean, I know her intentions were, okay, she thinks in her head, like, he's gonna die, you know, and so I gotta kind of keep everything good for her. But at the same time, it's like, you know what you're getting her into, right?
Yeah.
And just to kind of save Frank, maybe? I mean, I don't know.
Frank is already pretty much saved at this point, I guess, in terms of, like, making sure that Mary has a decent life, so that her children have a decent life, so that their children and their children so that Frank can come out 100 years later. But with that said, it is not the best decision. And even, we'll just get to that, but you know, even Jack knows that about himself.
Yeah.
He even warned her. He's like, are you sure you want to give this girl to me? But we'll get to that.
Okay.
So we discover that Mary is indeed engaged to Alex, has been interacting in some premarital sexual relations.
Which let me just jump in, because how did that go down? Because it seems like Alex was never not, like, dying, you know? Like,
well, he was... I don't really know how tuberculosis works in terms of how it spreads from person to person. Whenever
I
see,
like,
infection,
yeah,
everyone seems to be okay, like, having sex with people.
I just mean, like, how was he able to?
Oh, well,
you
I don't
know,
think he
because
was
he was like
as sick.
Okay, because when I see him, like, lying on his deathbed, he, like, is never not, like, coughing up blood, and I'm like, how are you?
Yeah,
how did you and Mary?
It's been 5 months.
Yeah.
So, and when we last saw him, he had just started the coughing.
Yeah.
So if it's only been like, if in that time since we last saw him, up until when Mary was reunited with him, it could have been just like a month or so.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know how tuberculosis tracks. I do, from what I can tell, hear that it can be a long
drawn
journey
out
to death. Yeah. If it gets that bad. But, you know, I think now we can prevent it. I don't know. But, like, yeah, in some way, there's vaccines. But, so he married, well, no, Claire, feeling apologetic, does go to Alex's to try and make it easier for him. She knows that she can't save him, but she wants to at least offer, like, some type of peace for him as he approaches the end. So she follows them back a little bit later, or follows Mary back after Mary agrees for her to come by, and offers to help and make a poutine or something, some type of liquid to help them with the breathing. And when she's there, she runs into Johnny, a.k.a. Captain Blackjack Randall.
Don't you feel like he should have, like, creeped his head through the door and said, like, here's Johnny?
That would have been awesome.
That would have been perfect, considering the characters and how crazy they really both were.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. So this was an interesting take on Johnny Boy. We got a more sympathetic Captain Jack this episode. And, you know, of course, Tobias Menzies is an awesome actor and can pull off even making the dark Captain Jack somewhat more of a sympathetic character. So how did you feel about that when he was interacting with his brother and Mary?
Well, when he first walked in, I thought, like, come on. Out of all of the weeks or days out of an entire year, like, you just happen to be there at the same exact time, you know, for this to happen. Like, either Claire has, like, the worst luck on the planet, or, you know, something else is going on. But when I first saw him come in, it was like, well, that was inevitable, because we saw that last week, you know, that was kind of the preview that they were going to meet up somehow. Mm. Just kudos to Tobias, who's just brilliant. And, you know, he kind of, it made me feel like he had redeemed, not himself, but like he had some redeemable qualities, I guess.
That seeing he's not 100% monster.
Exactly.
He's like 85% monster.
Or maybe like 95, 99. But yeah, just seeing him kind of interact with Alex, like, we have not seen him, his kind of like softer, nice side at all. Like, even the very first episode when Claire meets him and he's like going to try to rape her against the tree. You know, like, he's been bad from the very first episode.
Yeah.
And so seeing him kind of, you know, have the soft side and really just doing whatever he can for his brother, and finding out that he's been paying the bills for Alex and for Mary.
Yeah.
It's like, it kind of made me go, okay, maybe he somehow in this weird scenario has kind of flipped a little bit, and he's going to be a better person. But that was quickly shot down.
Oh, yeah. I never thought he was going to be a better person. I was just like, oh, okay, he just has, like everyone, you know, he has variables and different colors and aspects and sides to him.
Yeah.
So Captain Jack, as a brother, is a nicer character.
Sometimes. His on
brother.
Occasion. To certain people.
To his brother.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah.
And so he Claire, you know, is of course like not happy to see him.
Yeah.
And but as she's hearing this, I don't think it in any way changes her heart, but it's just mm-mm. a surprising thing to hear that he's been paying the bills and taking care of them. But I guess it gets to a point where it's just too much for her and she has to go. Mm-hmm. And he chases her out there. And of course, first thing he does is like demand
yeah.
that she cure his brother. And she's like, there is no cure. He will die. And he's like, well, then you can make it easier for him. And she pulls a card, which is just a very different Claire. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. she even admitted to that she is a different woman than who she yeah. was like over a year ago. And asked for intel.
Yeah.
For the war, which is a smart move.
Yeah.
And we don't really know if the information he gave was legit because
it's him.
Prince Stuart's an idiot.
Oh, but, yeah. Well, that too.
That too. I mean, it's him, but we never really got to find out if that intel was like actual
yeah.
juicy stuff because we'll yeah. get to Prince Stuart.
But. Well, I feel like he was telling the truth just because Dougal confirmed it.
Yeah.
Remember? So it's kind of like, I feel like he was, which was shocking to me. And I thought that he was setting them up for sure, you know?
Yeah, I figured he would tell them.
Yeah, something the that Brits. They wanted to hear, yeah. And I felt like when that interaction with Claire, it made me so mad that he has that power over her, you know, just from, like, rooting for her character. I'm like, I don't want him to have that kind of power over her, you know? And just the fact that he feels like he can just reach out and grab her and pull her and demand things from
her. Call her by her first name.
Yeah, it's like, no, you don't have that authority. You know, I wanted to kind of step in for her and be like, hey, you need to stop. But yeah, I thought he for sure gave the wrong information or that he was going to tell them something and then go and tell the Brits something else. So that was very kind of shocking to me just to see their interaction, how it almost seemed like they were just like, I don't know, for what Jack Randall has put Claire and Jamie through. Mm-hmm. It's just like shocking to me that he feels like he can
just go up to her.
Just so kind of informally, nonchalantly.
Always thinking they can grab something from Scotland or speak for Scotland. Hashtag Brexit.
Yeah. It just got real.
You can't speak for all of us. I'm not Scottish, but you know what I mean. But she uses that to get what she wants, which ends up working out for her in the long run. And I don't think she wants to see Alex suffer any more than Mary or Jack does, for that matter. So it doesn't really hurt her in any way to help him.
Yeah.
So that leads us back to Jamie talking to Prince Stuart and the Huffy Puff old guys. I don't know their names. But I just see them. I go, the Huffy Puff old guys. And they're talking about going into Culloden. And Jamie, having knowledge of the future, is in some way trying to say, well, let's just... this is where my brain gets a little bit fuzzy. When he met with them, did he have this information yet? He didn't. And so that's when he goes and tells Claire.
Mm-hmm.
So she returns and tells him, hey, we have this information. And at this time, Colm also shows up at the camp, looking very, very sick.
Yeah.
And we discover that he is dying. What was he dying of?
Finally? I think it's just finally taking its toll on him. But that was unexpected. I did not think he was going to show up.
Yeah.
And especially in the fashion that he did, you know, and kind of demanding, not demanding, but saying to Claire, like, look, I want assisted suicide, you know, like help me out with this. And I was not expecting any of that to happen because Colm's character to me always seemed like somebody that was very, very strong and like going to the end, you know, like a warrior, like not going to let anything like take him down regardless of what it was. So that was very shocking to me that he kind of showed up there. And I think he showed up to get that from Claire and to say goodbye to Jamie and Dougal, you know?
To name his heir.
The Guardian.
The Guardian for his heir as well, which was rough.
Yeah.
I was surprised as well that Colm wanted an assisted suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was surprised as well that Claire was like, well, isn't it suicide it's in? And he's like, well, just add another sin to the batch I already got. No big deal. I think his reasoning of, you know, I've lived far longer than anyone anticipated I would, or, you know, he didn't say it quite that way, but that he lived longer than he thought he would, and he was just ready to go.
Yeah.
He was like, he was in a lot of pain, and he didn't want to be in pain anymore.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the thing about people who do ask for assisted suicide. It's it's inevitable that the death is coming, and the time that they're here is just painful, and they just want to go.
Yeah.
And so I can understand, not necessarily that he couldn't do it himself, but I mean, yeah, I mean, I think he was at the point where he was just too ill to really be able to.
Yeah.
And well, probably didn't want to.
Yeah. You know? And I think it's kind of like to him taking the control back. You know, like, he needs help to walk. He needs help. Like, he has to get these, like, massages all the time to try to ease his pain. Like, he has to rely on so many people. And for somebody that's obviously for so long been so prideful, I'm sure a little bit of that is, like, taking back the control. Like, I'm not going to let this disease, like, harm me anymore. I am taking control. I am ending it the way I choose to end it.
Yeah.
So that kind of makes sense for his character, being somebody who was the head of a clan and, like, ran all these people. And, you know, that kind of makes sense that he would then in turn say, okay, by my terms.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And it was nice to get a little bit of information on Galus and her baby.
I know.
They did not burn her at the stake until the baby had been born.
Yeah.
And so, still kind of like, well, could you just, like, let her raise her baby? But whatever. And they sent her to live with William McKenzie, I believe.
I forget who they said, the two people who weren't able to have kids on their own.
Yeah.
So they're raising this kid. And then it took me a while for it to click, like, okay, so Dougal has a son now.
Yeah,
Exactly. Yeah. Call him son, which I had kind of forgotten about, that Dougal, you know, fathered that kid. And then now this other one with Galus that... Up until the end of the episode, I don't think he knows about.
He doesn't know.
Nobody told him about it. So that's going to be interesting for his character.
That's definitely going to be, especially when it comes time for who leads the clan.
Yeah.
That's definitely going to be something that he's probably going to bring to the table.
Yeah.
I don't know if he needs any type of, like, power play.
Yeah.
So from there, she does agree. She gives him yellow jasmine. And, you know, basically he can take it at his leisure. It's there in his hand whenever he's ready. And this is where I feel like a few days pass. He's not just there and then he dies at night, right? It's like a one or two, 3 days?
I think
three days, or 2 days, because it's April 13th, right? And then April 16th is the war. So 2 days pass in between the beginning of the episode and the end. And so then we just see... Claire goes back to... I'm making sure I'm not jumping anything. Claire goes back to Alex. And she is got this pipe. And she's like like light burning herbs and it's like blowing it into his face. And like Captain Jack is not having it.
Does
not want it. But she says, like, this is the only way, you know, to help open up his chest so he can breathe a little bit more. And so... she's taking puffing little poofs into his face. I was kind of like, whoa, this is like, what's it called? Oh, man. I don't know. Some of smoking when you blow back. It was like that blowback move, you know.
Yeah.
Anyways. And why am I blanking on what happened on this? Because I'm...
Well,
it's all lumped together.
I think that's when she goes back is when she finds out that Alex wants Mary to marry
this the point?
Jack.
This
I think
is the
so.
Point. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I wasn't sure. I was like, was there an additional scene before that?
Yeah.
So this is when he finally goes to bring the priest, and Captain Jack's like, why are we bringing the priest right now? And he's like, so that you can marry my girlfriend.
Yeah. Who's like super young and just like and sweet and naive. And...
yeah. Well, she did shank a dude last episode. So
that's true.
I mean,
that's
she's kind of sweet, but she will shank a guy.
She has her dark side that comes out.
Yeah.
But yeah. I liked in that whole scene, like the setup for it, when Jamie's like, you're not going there alone. Like, you're going to take Murtaugh, you know? And,
exactly.
And I liked that it was kind of like Murtaugh is kind of returning as that protector role. And we saw just in the very beginning of the episode how he's kind of caring for Fergus. And so I liked seeing
Fergus is falling asleep on the horse.
I know.
It's very cute.
So I liked seeing that part of it. And then just when they find out that that's what Alex wants, it seems like, I don't know if he'd discussed that with Mary. Because
it seem like he discussed
everyone
it with
seemed like real shocked about it. And
disgusted.
Yeah.
I said disgusted.
Disgusted a little bit.
Freudian
too.
Slip.
I know. So, yeah, that was interesting to me how it seemed like he had just kind of decided this on his own, and nobody else was opposed to it other than Randall and Murtaugh. You know, like Claire's obviously on board because she wants
this. She knows it needs to happen.
That set up. And that was part of the frustration for me with her character is, like, I understand that she, in her mind, she's thinking, okay, well, he might die in 3 days, but then they're trying to change it. Mm-hmm. So what if he doesn't? And mm-hmm. Mary is stuck with Randall. Mm-hmm. And after what he says to her at the bar, how yes. he regrets nothing that
so
he did to Jamie.
That.
Okay.
So,
wait. Before we get to that, can I just say how sweet it was that Murtaugh offered to marry Mary? And I felt so bad for him that Claire was kind of like, like, that's
you're
so nice of you,
man,
but
from the Highland,
you don't have anything to your name. I'm like, come on. That's so mm-hmm. sweet of Murtaugh to, like, jump in and kind of say, like, I will do the right thing to keep her out of his hands.
Yeah.
I was like, Murtaugh for the win. Again.
Exactly.
Again. Love him.
I was going to say, so when he asks them, he takes their hands and Mary agrees and Jack is, like, holding his hand. He's like, I can't. He takes off. Because mm-hmm. he's Jack. He takes off to a bar, obviously. Mm-hmm. And we get to see that scene between Claire and Murtaugh. But mm-hmm. Murtaugh is like, I will marry her. I don't think we're at all compatible. I don't think we're really going to like each other, but we can learn to like each other.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
He needs a lady.
He does.
He needs a lady.
Murtaugh, why are you gone so long? So single for so long. but he says, you know, this is probably the bar that Captain Jack is at. Mm-hmm. And Claire says, I will go in. And from there, we see. Well, no, before that, I think what was really great was when Alex called out Captain Jack about his darkness. He's like, do you not think I see, like, this wall of darkness that you've built around you?
Yeah.
He's like, but I know there's good in you. I have seen it. You've shown it to me. And I was like, that's a very, because you don't really think about, monsters, people who've become monsters, like, what led them to become that way?
Yeah.
Or who Captain Jack was as a child. Had he suffered any type of abuse as a child that mm-hmm. in some way kind of, because that's not necessarily, like, always what ends up happening, but it's a common thing that people who suffer from abuse end up becoming abusers when they're older.
Yeah.
So it was something that was just kind of like a, huh, you know, I guess I never really looked at him in that way.
Right. And I agree with that. But at the same time, I think that if Alex knew the extent of what
he doesn't know the extent.
Jack did, I don't think he would be proposing the same thing. Like, oh, he marry my wife after all these, like, really, really crazy awful things you've done.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But maybe still in terms of,
like, just protecting her.
Ensuring security for his child and her. Maybe he feels like what Claire said, like, let that love that you have for your brother extend to the person that he loves.
Yeah.
And that's true. Like, if he can hold back this monster that lives in him, that is him, mm-hmm. For his brother, why can't he do it for Mary and his nephew?
Yeah.
You know? Or child, I don't know, nephew, niece, and we don't really know, actually. So, when we get to the bar, and Claire is sitting there patiently trying to convince him that he's going to break his brother's heart if he doesn't marry this woman, like, it's his last dying wish. And he looks at her and he says, did Jamie tell you what I did to him? And I was like, oh, God.
I know.
Why? And he's like, I regret none of it.
I know.
I was like, geez. But it also kind of showed me that he has a very clear understanding of, like, what he does mm-hmm. and that it's wrong. But he has no desire to control it. Like, mm-hmm. it's not like he's just kind of going through it and justifying his actions. Like, he, in so many words, admitted that, you know, this is wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm a bad person. Do you really want me to have this woman?
Yeah.
And I was taken aback.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, you are very, very clear in what you do and how you operate. And maybe you don't necessarily like that part of you, but you don't have any desire to control that part of you either. Well, he did say he liked it.
I kind of feel like,
I don't know.
I feel like when he said that to Claire, it was kind of like acknowledging who he is mm-hmm. and kind of very few people, I think, know who he truly is.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, because it's not like this huge knowledge that he does all these, like, the extent of the awful things he does.
Yeah.
So I think it was part of him acknowledging it to somebody that knows it. But also I think he was using it as kind of like a tactic for Claire to side with him.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost like he brought it up to say, to show her like, see, I want you to recognize how bad I am so that you can convince, you can get on my side, you know? And that's when it kind of, for me, I was kind of frustrated with Claire up until that point because I'm like, no, you need to stop pushing him towards Mary, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then true to Claire's character and just how, like, strong she is, she's like, nope, not, you can say whatever you want to me. I'm not letting it get to me.
Yeah.
And still kind of ended it with, you still need to do this.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, that was really hard to watch, just bringing up that emotion and bringing up the memories of what he did to Jamie and kind of showing that it's not just swept under the rug because you could see Claire's just anguish and grief as soon as he brought it up, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, it's still, like, very, very raw and very real.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was creepy.
He's so creepy.
I hope he dies tomorrow or whatever it is.
And, I just loved when he named the date because we didn't know beforehand.
Right.
So when he says April 16th, 1746, you're like, wait, oh my gosh, that's like tomorrow.
He's going to die. Yay.
So that'll be fascinating to see like how that ends up happening. But so we jump to, make sure I'm doing this in order. We jump to Prince Stuart being given the information from Jamie about we could potentially attack them at this point and go in earlier so we wouldn't have to do the fight at the Battle of Culloden. And Prince Stuart, just being an idiot, says, fine, but I want to be there. And we'll, me and this other aristocrat, crat, every time, aristocrat, will go and take this one team and you go with that team. But the two people who are actually aware of, like, how to fight more end up together. And that's not what they want. They're like, well, you should come with one of us instead. And so he says, no, I want to go. I'm going to do it this way. And I'll bring a fine bottle of wine so we can, you know, cheers him a happy birthday as he's my prisoner. And it's just kind of, God.
Creepy.
What? One, he's always creepy. He's always saying, mark me. I just want to punch him in the face.
I know. I thought we were going to get through an episode without him saying it, but he said it.
He said it. And it's like, Prince Stuart, like, why does anyone want you to be their leader? Like, you're really bad at this. Like, you are. You're really, you should just retire to a nice cottage house,
have
castle.
Some wine, you know, just chill.
And chill.
Just like, chill.
Just quit with us. Nobody wants to really follow you. They just don't want the guy who's there. But so as they're discovering this, as they're making plans for this, Dougal makes his way back, gives them the same information they already have. Jamie tells him, we've already got the information, we know what we're gonna do. He's like, well, why am I even here? And ask for some food, which seems to be like some tree leaves and
cabbage
bark
and
in the pot. And that's when Jamie lets him know, actually Colm's here and you need to speak to him first. And then Colm tells it just like it is.
Unleashes.
He doesn't want Dougal to raise his own son.
Yeah.
He wants to have someone who's more level-headed to come in and raise his son so that he can be a better leader for the clan when he's of age. And that person that he chooses is Jamie.
Yeah.
Which I was kind of like, whoa, oh, okay. You're just going to get, like, how old is this kid? Is he, I don't remember, was he like 12 or 13?
Yeah, I think so, like younger. Yeah. I mean, when we were first introduced to him. And I kind of, like, when they were doing that setup, I knew it was going to be Jamie.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, of course, that why are they both here? Like,
exactly.
It's going to be Jamie. And then I kind of thought, like, well, what if, no offense, but, like, what if Jamie doesn't want to be the guardian?
I totally thought Jamie was going to be like, but I'm good.
Thanks, but no thanks.
Thank you.
But, so that was pretty surprising to me. And I just thought Graham McTavish did a phenomenal job in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just jumping forward to the end when he's saying goodbye to Colm. Just so, so great. Great acting. That kind of whole scene took me by surprise. But I do like how Colm ended it by saying, like, okay, if you can promise me that you're going to put your men's lives, you know, above everything else, then it's yours. If you can tell me. And
Dougal
couldn't
do it.
But it kind of made it like, it felt like when Colm first introduced the whole scenario of Jamie being the guardian, it felt like a slap in the face to Dougal.
Yeah.
But then at the end, I felt like it kind of was just very cut dry.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't a slap in the face. It was just saying, like, these are the facts, and this is what I want. And if you can do it, then great. Here you go. But you can't.
Dougal's just not level-headed enough to do it. And Colm's aware of that. Mm-hmm. And Colm even said that. He's like, I didn't come here to support you or the Jacobite cause. Okay, America's been dying, and I just want to tell Jamie what's happening.
So I can
maybe
die
see
in
you
peace.
And say hi. Yeah. But I just really want to die.
Yeah.
What's even... Because even when you get to when you cut to that last scene of him and Colm, like, he could have told Dougal, mm-hmm. hey, I just took this poison. I'm going to die.
Yeah.
Like, pretty soon. Because he had to have taken it right before Dougal walked in.
That's what I was thinking after, like, when Dougal's pouring his heart out and there was no response. I'm like, oh, gosh, he took the poison. Mm-hmm. But then I thought, okay, did he take it while Dougal's, like, pouring his heart out? And he's like, enough of this. Down.
No.
And then I thought, well, it's probably before, because when Dougal walks in, he says something like, can't you just leave me in peace? Mm-hmm. You know? And so it's like he knew that, because Claire had said something like, it's almost like you're going into a peaceful sleep or something mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like he knew this is happening. I'm just going to be in peace. But here comes Dougal in true Dougal form, like, just laying it all out there.
Just being so angry. Just being like, oh, I hated you.
Yeah.
Or falling off that horse. And that was, nice to hear, like, how the accident happened. And even though it is a disease, right?
Yeah. So I know that's what I was trying to think, too, is, like, I don't think that necessarily caused it, because it doesn't seem like that would, unless there's some medical condition that I'm not aware of. But it seemed like it was a disease. And I think that whole part was just more so saying, like, it felt like to me Dougal was saying, you know, I always thought you were like this, you know, bigger than life person. Mm-hmm. And then this thing happened and mm-hmm. I was so mad at you. And it felt like to me Dougal was almost like apologizing to him, you mm-hmm. know, like pouring mm-hmm. his heart out, almost saying like, I'm sorry in a way is what it felt mm-hmm. like, his tone and everything. Mm-hmm. But then just the fact that he really never got to say it to Colm, because Colm had died before then. And then Dougal said, you know, it's trapped in me forever now, how I really felt. Yeah. And so for me, it kind of showed like the softer side of Dougal almost, you know, even though it was kind of like a weird, like backhanded comment that he gave to Colm, like, how dare you're so awful on a horse. But it felt like it was kind of
he
more
was
of
leading
like
up to something.
I think so.
Okay. Because I kind of felt like this is kind of jerky.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I got it wrong, but that's just kind of how I saw it. And to me, it was like, it's typical, like, behavior and circumstances that happen to Dougal. Like, I feel like he always is kind of doing these offhanded things that nobody really approves of. And then he has this moment where he can, like, you know, clear his name mm-hmm. and then something goes wrong. And it just kind of felt, like, very similar to that. Like, he has this moment when he could kind of, like, clear things over with his brother who's dying, but he can't even do that because his brother killed himself before he could say it.
Dang.
So
Dougal, he gets no breaks. He has a child out there that he doesn't even know about.
Yeah,
his brother could have told him that before he died.
I know, right?
Didn't
that would have been nice.
So from there we jump to the marriage mm-hmm. of Captain Jack Randall and Mary, and they do it, and Mary's crying the whole time. And Captain Jack looks pissed the whole time.
Yeah.
And then they wait and watch for Alex to take his last breath. And then Captain Jack proceeds to, like, pound his brother's face, I guess?
It
sounded like a face.
Crazy.
It was crunching sounds with it.
It was his
just
face.
Just beats the crap out of his brother for dying.
I thought, like, when that happened,
which
I'm like,
crazy.
This is a whole new level of crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, we always knew he was crazy. We knew he has, like, serious issues. But to me, this was a whole new level. Mm. And I liked how the show showed the two, again, speaking of parallels, you see Dougal and Colm, mm-hmm. and Dougal's, like, laying his head on his chest, mm-hmm. like, sad, obviously kind of distraught, and like, I didn't get to tell you how I really felt. Mm-hmm. And then you flash to Alex and Jack is beating his dead brother's corpse.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, why? Like, I didn't...
It's very much telling of, like, somebody who just, like, doesn't understand how to deal with his emotions.
Anything.
Like,
any emotion.
Any emotion outside of just, like, full-on anger or rage he doesn't want to feel. And so he replaces, like, sadness with rage.
Yeah.
You know, he replaces love or understanding with rage. And so... Yeah, because you know, you would imagine that Dougal would do something like that. Maybe not like pound, but he would like punch him out of anger or something. But he doesn't do that. He just like holds him.
Yeah.
So to see the opposite of like how Jack is so nice to Alex in life, but when he's dead, he's so angry with
crazy.
Him for dying.
Yeah.
He just walks out the room. And then we jump to Jamie and one of the Hufflepuff men, mm-hmm. waiting for Prince Stuart and another Hufflepuff man, and discovering that Prince Stuart's troops got lost because he doesn't know how to lead troops, and they all have to go back to camp.
Yeah.
And so they're not going to be able to do the surprise attack, which means that they have to fight in Culloden the next day, mm-hmm. having little to no sleep because they planned to do a surprise attack that night.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much like written in stone that there's no way that they can win this battle.
Yeah.
I mean, outside of the fact that, you know, factually, historically, real time, real life, they didn't win.
Yeah.
So.
I know.
Because we do know a little bit about
yeah.
the real history of the show.
A little,
show.
Yes.
but, yeah, so that'll be an interesting thing to see if everything goes the way that his history has written it. Mm-hmm. So what if there's a possibility that Jack is saved, you know?
Yeah.
Because he is a fictional character, so they can kind of do whatever they want with him.
Yeah.
But we are kind of anticipating that, and I don't know. Is there anything else? Should we go into predictions?
No, yeah. Let's jump right in.
All right.
Okay.
And now, you're after Buzz.
Stretch. Predictions.
Okay. So we see next episode. Obviously, it's the season finale. Mm-hmm. It's 90 minutes, which I'm really excited about.
Yeah.
And we don't see a whole lot of fighting. We see a preview of Claire back at the Stones saying she doesn't want to leave Jamie. She has her hair down, which I noticed because she normally never does. And mm-hmm. I feel like she did in the beginning of the episode,
right?
So it seems like that's right when she goes through. So I don't know. I feel like for next episode, we're going to see her leave through these stones.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see the battle maybe begin, mm-hmm. but I don't think we're going to see what actually happens.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be kind of the cliffhanger. Is Jack still alive? Is Jamie still alive? You know, I think mm-hmm. there's going to be a lot of kind of things left unsaid.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously we know that they lost the battle because mm-hmm. we saw that in the very first episode, but I don't think that we as an audience are going to see
mm-hmm.
exactly what's going to happen to some of those key characters.
Yeah.
But
okay.
And also Claire is pregnant right now. Is
yeah.
that correct?
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like Jamie knows. So mm-hmm. I wonder if she knows.
How does she? Yeah. Hmm. How does she know? When does she? We shall see.
I know.
I think we're actually going to get a little bit more time in the future. So I think mm-hmm. they're not going to show the battle. And the only reason that Claire would have to go back would have to be something where maybe all those rumors of her being like a white witch have finally come to roost. And so they need her to leave for her protection. And because that's the only reason I could see Jamie being okay with her going. I mean, like, not just like going to a different country, but going back in time
yeah,
and
like
never
leaving.
Seeing her again.
Yeah.
So something big has to happen outside of just, like, the battle that forces him to say go back. And I think Captain Jack may not die. We'll
I don't
see.
Think he does.
I think he might make it out. But I think we're going to jump forward and we're going to see a little bit more. That's when I think they might do... We see her in the future and then we see... I think they're going to end it with a flashback to Jamie's time, and we get to see like where he starts.
Where he is.
So it's just like, oh crap. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think they would leave it. We're just like, oh well, we don't know what happened to him.
Yeah.
I think they're going to kind of come back so we can, because we already know she's in the future. I think
yeah.
they're going to give us a hint of like what's happening with him.
I hope so. I don't like big cliffhangers for so long. So
yeah.
I hope they kind of give us some sort of hint, because that
yeah.
would be nice. But yeah, I don't think Jack dies, because Claire said to Jamie, like, if he doesn't die tomorrow, I promise, you know, I keep you my promise in France, so.
So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think that about wraps it up for this episode of the Outlander After Show. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Where can everyone find you?
On Twitter, you can follow me at MLEBeth, and on Instagram, OMG, it's Emily.
And you all can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Miss Adrienne Snow. Again, thank you guys for tuning in. We will be back on our regular time next week. We just had to move it a little bit for some personal stuff. So thank you again, and we will see you all next or this Sunday.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.